You're listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps. Day 10 review.
Second serve, backhand return from Safarova, but a winner down the line from Kvitova, who is through to her second Wimbledon final.
So Petra Kvitova beats her checkmate as she closes in on a second Wimbledon title.
I know how it's feeling when you hold the trophy, so I really want to win my second title here, and I will do everything what I can.
But in her way stands one of the rising stars of ladies' tennis.
She serves to the backhand, the return is in the net, and she stands victorious on centre court. Ginny Bouchard, a star now of the modern game.
Bouchard becomes the first Canadian to reach a Wimbledon final.
I'm really excited. I have a day off tomorrow. I can't wait to play. It's my first Grand Slam final, so I'm just going to go for it. I'll have probably my toughest match yet, so I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Yes, hello and welcome from me, Richard Connolly, on Ladies' Semi-Finals Day here at Wimbledon 2014. And to help us look back at the day's action, I'm joined by Live at Wimbledon commentator Rupert Bell and the former British number one, Lucy Arle. Hello to you both, as we always do on occasions such as this. I will ask you, Lucy, first, for a highlight of Day 10.
I think for me it was seeing a new player in the women's get through to Grand Slam final, Ginny Bouchard, taking out Simona Halep. I think, you know, having someone who's 20 years of age making a slam final is quite incredible.
For all we've seen her coming to be that age and to have achieved so much, it still is. It is lovely to witness. Rupert Bell, I suspect you're going in a slightly different direction.
I am. I'm going to give the mixed doubles a bit of a plug because I was lucky enough to witness the most extraordinary entertainment out on number one court featuring Neil Skupski and Naomi Brody against the Romanian Florian Mergea and Svitolina. And it was just extraordinary. And the 11 match points and the final two games, just drama at every turn.
Skupski and Brody, of course, a British pair, and they got the crowd involved. And we'll come to that a little bit later in this part of the programme. But, of course, we are going to bring our in-depth analysis of the day's play by looking at the ladies' semi-finals. And first on centre, it was an all-Czech affair. There wasn't much to separate the two left-handers in the first set, which was eventually won in a tight tiebreak by Petra Kvitova. The second set, however, was a little more one-sided.
Serve the second serve. Backhand return from Safarova, but a winner down the line from Kvitova, who is through to her second Wimbledon final. The 2011 champion, back at her best here on the court she loves most. The tournament that has brought her the finest memories of her career, and now with the chance to become a multiple Wimbledon champion. She has defeated her good friend and Czech compatriot Lucy Safarova in straight sets, 7-6, 6-1.
Yes, a very close first set, Lucy Arle, but the second set, Petra Kvitova really did run away with it, and it didn't feel like a great contest during that period. How do you explain the difference between sets one and two today?
Well, I thought it was surprisingly a very good match, and Kvitova came out and she took a 2-love lead. I don't necessarily think that was just Safarova's nerves. There obviously would have been nerves there. It was more down to the way that Petra Kvitova came out. I mean, she served incredibly well and was returning well, and just the weight of shot was just seemed to be knocking Safarova off backwards, and then it just seemed to turn and Lucy Safarova, and she held her court position. She wouldn't back up, and she was looking to take the first serves inside the baseline.
Yeah, she was coming forward, wasn't she?
And mistimed a few of them, but she was connecting with them. And that's what really, I mean, for me, I felt that she had the slight advantage in the first set. And it's just a couple of points, a couple of key points. And I have to say, Kvitova had to serve herself out of trouble a number of times, and whether her experience just came through in that first set, and then visibly you saw Kvitova just relax a little bit, and serve got better. She seemed to look much more comfortable and was really pushing Safarova back. And then I just felt Lucy Safarova was just trying to force the play a little bit too much.
But isn't it Kvitova now back to where she was in 2011? And that seemed to be the confidence now is returning and back in the stage, feeling and believing again, because it has been, you know, not quite the sort of kick-on that we all expected back in 2011. Now we're seeing it, and OK, she's playing. It's always difficult playing someone you know well and a compatriot in a situation like that, but it was good to see how positive she was and how aggressive she was, and I think that's some of the key points in Kvitova's favour.
Well, let's hear from Petra Kvitova now into her second Wimbledon final.
It's great, definitely. I mean, I really don't have a word to describe how I'm feeling right now. I mean, it was a tough match mentally as well, because Lucy is a good friend of mine, and we know each other well off the court and on the court as well. And I knew that she's going to play best in her tennis, and she did, actually. And I'm just happy that I won, definitely.
You looked very good out there. The first set, of course, going to the tiebreak, but you looked in complete command in the second set.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to be focused from the beginning of the second set when I won the tie break, and really I break her when she was serving for the first time, and I just kept it going, and yeah, I served well in the last point.
We've spoken earlier in this tournament about the fact that being the champion, coming back, it's been a bit difficult, but now you're going for the title again from a different perspective. How excited are you about what's to come?
It's great, definitely. I'm just have emotion from this match, but I have still 2 days to go to the final, and of course that I will try my best out there. And I know how it's feeling when you hold the trophy, so I really want to win my second title here, and I will do everything what I can.
Yeah, she achieved that Wimbledon title at, what, the age of 21, so she's had some time to reflect and work out how to get back to the top, and she very nearly was a world number one in the meantime. Lucy Hull, there was this assumption, I think, and I was at least as guilty as anybody else, that Lucy Safarova, because she'd never been beyond the third round at Wimbledon before, would be the more nervous coming into today. But Petra Kvitova is one of those characters who we've seen struggle with anxiety a little bit. And so maybe, actually, it was the reverse.
In a way. I mean, I think just the way Safarova played, I mean, I thought it was a high-level match, particularly that first set. I don't really think there were nerves involved. I think both were hitting the ball well, and I mean there was a lot of winners. I mean, you can look at the stats, and with the serving stats in particular, and they were both looking to take their chances. And I mean, it was always going to be interesting, two lefties matching up. And I mean, going in, I mean, all the stats were heavily in favour of Kvitova, and you couldn't really find too much to give Safarova a chance. And I think that's where, you know, it was great that she was able to step out there. I don't think there were any nerves involved from her. I think she put on court the level she's been playing this tournament.
And for all it's nice to see a young player coming through, Rupert, there's also something reassuring for us who are slightly more senior in years to see a player able to work her way to a new level when she certainly in the second half of her professional career, to be kind, perhaps.
I think it's very important, because there's been so much talk of the changing of the guard, obviously with the Williams sisters going out early, that we have got a former champion still able and determined and willing to compete and prove that and fight back from any demons that she may have, and dealing with the sort of the expectation levels. And they were high after she won Wimbledon here, because that was a big deal, because she beat Maria Sharapova in that final, and people thought this is the birth of the Kvitova era. Well, it didn't quite happen like that. Now she has a chance to get a second title, and that is something that will be very special for her. And it is, as you say, a new chapter, but of course it's not going to be easy. But all that she did today was confirm that she is in some the form of her life, because throughout this fortnight so far, I've been singularly very impressed.
Yeah, she goes forward to the final. We're going to hear a word from Lucy Safarova, because it was a completely new experience for her. Her first Grand Slam semi-final. This is what she's had to say about her Wimbledon experience.
First of all, I was healthy, and I was feeling good on the court, like feeling the ball, playing really well, aggressive, going for my shots, serving well. So I think I built up my game, and I was improving throughout the tournament, and today was a good match and really nice experience to play first time on the center court, and I hope it's not the last time.
Yeah, she hopes it's not the last. Lucille, do you think that this can be a springboard for her later in her what, three-quarters of the way through her 20s? She's 27, Safarova. Do you expect to see her at the stage of Grand Slams in future?
I do. I mean, there was a lot of expectation on her shoulder when she was younger. I mean, she came through, made the quarterfinals of the Australian Open, fourth round of the French, and since then hasn't really done too much. She's won some titles, but for her talent, I mean, you look through, she's beaten a number of top 10 players, but it's been inconsistent, and her game style is like that. She's aggressive, and just sometimes she can either be hitting, a bit similar to Kvitova, be hitting screaming winners or not find the court. And I think this, you know, she's older now and she's obviously much more mature. I think this will instill the belief and confidence in her game and herself.
Would a player like Li Na be somebody that Lucy Safarova would look to, winning two Grand Slam titles, she's sort of turning 30, that kind of age? Players do mature at different points.
Definitely. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, Stoser as well. I mean, that was, you know, winning the US Open. And we don't see too many players winning titles. I think also, not just Li Na, but I think some of the lower-ranked players, Sabalkova making the final of the Australian Open, all the different results that aren't the norm, you know, over the last sort of few years. In the slams, it's been the same winners, and we haven't seen as many shocks. The last sort of three, four slams, there's been so many shocks. And I think that starts going around the locker room, and that then instills belief in the players, and their top ones start to lose that stigma.
Well, perhaps we're heading out of the Williams era, and nobody quite knows which era, Rupert, that we're heading into.
Well, I think that's the beauty of where the women's game is at the moment. I think it's a very exciting period, and the players are coming at it from different angles. You know, you've got the slightly more older ones who've had to deal with the Williams era, who are now thinking, well, this could be my chance. I'm not going to be powered out of it. I can now grasp a chance. And Safarova, yes, she's got to the semi-final. It will be important for her to kick on and find a way of getting to another semi-final that might lead to that all-important Grand Slam final and maybe a winning opportunity. But to get to the semi-final, I mean, I think she can take great heart from that, and that will be a good step going forward. But I'm still feeling that maybe this might have been her moment in the splendid Wimbledon sunshine.
Yes,
this year.
And it was a glorious, glorious day on centre court today, which was also experienced by a certain young Canadian named after a member of the British royal family and the world number three. It was Eugenie Bouchard against Simona Halep, and this is how it ended.
The young Canadian from Montreal, who has this moment perhaps to take her place in a Wimbledon final. She serves to the backhand, the return is in the net, and she stands victorious on centre court. Eugenie Bouchard, a star now of the modern game, who sees off the world number three, Simona Halep, in straight sets to take her place for the first time in a Grand Slam final. Semi-finalist in Australia, semi-finalist at Roland Garros, but now she will tilt for this, the most famous title, because she's beaten Halep 7-6, 6-2.
Barry Milnes with the commentary for Live at Wimbledon Radio. With me, commentator Rupert Bell and former British number one player Lucy Ahle. Lucy, what did you learn about Eugenie Bouchard today that you didn't know before?
That she can make a Grand Slam final. She's made two semis this year, and that was the next stepping stone for her, and I don't think she'll be content at that. And a lot of people have had their eyes on her and have pretty much guaranteed that she's going to win Grand Slams, and she's coming up with the goods to make her third Grand Slam semi-final and then go one step further, put herself in contention of actually winning a title at 20 years of age. And I mean, she only won the juniors here a few years ago. She made her mark very quickly at tour level. And it's just the way she goes about things. She's back working with Nick Saviano, where she was based when she was younger. This time last year, she was with Natalie Tauzier and is still linked, obviously, with the Canadian Federation. But she's gone back to Nick Saviano. And you can just see on the practice court, when they speak to each other, she's listening to him. I mean, he's a fantastic coach, and what he does well is it's simple, but it's specific, and she locks into that, and that's what it looks like out on the court. She genuinely believes that she's a champion, and she goes out there, and that's how she looks to play. That's her game style. She's clear cut on what she's looking to do.
Yeah, the word that's screaming out at me is process. That he's found, they've found a connection, they've found a way of working, and she is reassured by the detail.
She's one of the most openly single-minded sportsmen that I've ever come across. Because you hear everything she says, it's all about the process, as you say, just to get to that winning, and nothing will stop her getting to keep on winning. And that's what she says, I'm working towards all the time, is winning, winning, winning. And defeat in her life is not an option, and she will work ever harder to ensure that she keeps doing it. And now she's got the chance of a final, and you know, way she played today in a match that was affected by, I think, an injury early on to Simona Halep. How bad, I don't know, but it clearly disrupted the Romanian enough, I think, for her to be unsettled, and we perhaps didn't get the classic that we were expecting. But you've got to admire what Bouchard does time and time again. She just, and we're hearing her talk, I have never heard anyone like it. And OK, it's all very much a sort of front, but that front is ensuring that she's got an aura and starting to intimidate her opponents.
Well, I suppose in the sporting vernacular, it's the game face, isn't it, Lucielle? But underneath that, there were flutters, weren't there? I mean, she's doing her best to disguise them, of course, but when it got to that final game, it did get tense, and we were all able to see behind that mask for just a split second.
Exactly right, and it's new for her, and she's still so young, so that's expected. The interesting was that first point, wasn't it? And she put her hand up to say she wasn't ready, and the umpire was having none of it, was he? And so she lost the point. That was on the first match point. She then lost the next one. They then had to change ends at 5-2. And then she came out there, and had Halep not let that lead get quite so big, I think it could have been very interesting.
Let's get a quick word then from Eugenie Bouchard. First on that little stumble she was having, trying to close out that final game.
It was a little crazy. I don't know. I've never really kind of ended a match like that. But, you know, just happy I kept my focus and, you know, didn't get distracted or anything and, you know, played well in the last game.
So a Wimbledon final. Describe your emotions.
I'm really excited. I have a day off tomorrow. I can't wait to play. It's my first Grand Slam final, so I'm just going to go for it. I'll have probably my toughest match yet, so I'm looking forward to the challenge.
At 20, you're showing great mental strength. How do you work on that? Because in that semi-final, match point, you're really having to concentrate, aren't you?
Yeah, that took a little bit of mental strength there to stay focused. Well, I'm not going to give away my secrets, but, you know, it's just important for me to, first of all, enjoy being out there, and second of all, really just focus on what I need to do during the point, you know, tactically how I want to play.
Can you enjoy it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough work, but you know what? It's what I love. I love working hard, and I love tough moments and challenges.
Petra Kvitova next, and you played once before. She won that one. She said already she will look at DVDs and really, really plan for you. What do you say to that?
Well, good. I expect a tough challenge, you know. She'll go in prepared, and I'll be prepared as well. My coach will definitely watch her play and give me some tips on how she plays. But, you know, I'm just going to go out there and go play my game. You know, I think I can play even better than I played today.
And just lastly, what a lovely occasion for you. You're through to a final, and all your family are here as well. What a great day it's going to be.
Yeah, it's really cool, and I'm glad, you know, I got to stay at Wimbledon for 2 whole weeks. And, you know, I just want to give my best effort. I want to leave it all on the court, and we'll see what happens.
Eugenie Bouchard with Gary Richardson trying to probe, but Eugenie just whacking those questions away like she was swatting away Simona Halep on centre courts today. Any concerns, Lucy, that having shown that albeit tiny element of vulnerability at the end, that when you get in the increased pressure environment of a final, I mean, let's not forget 12 months ago, Sabine Lisicki in that environment really did find it overwhelming, that something similar might happen to Bouchard?
Of course it could. She doesn't know, we don't know, and until she steps out there, I mean, all she can do is prepare the best she can. I mean, one thing that you cannot buy or order off the internet or work hard to get is experience. And if you've never been in a Grand Slam final, until you get out there and experience it, you don't know how you're going to react. For her, she's got a day off, and I mean, she's got an experienced coach, so she can get help from that side. And she will do all she can to prepare, and she'll go for it. How she deals with it, We'll find out on Saturday.
So many players struggle with that first Grand Slam final, and then they come back, they experience it, because it'll be a different, even the walkout will be different. Your bags will be carried out. There just will be, the whole day will feel different and the weight of expectation. And this is what she's worked for. She may only be 20, but as she says, I've worked for it. But it will then be that sense of anticipation. It might just, as she's only 20, for the first time, we might see the guard come down. But I just don't think she will somehow, because she just seems to be cut with a, from a different cloth. And that's the fascinating thing. But we do know players have struggled on their first Grand Slam. Obviously, without, you know, Andy Murray first time. There's so many, you can just name them.
Think of Jana Novotná in the ladies' game, what happened to her before she came back and won the title. It's happened to very many, and it's always fascinating in sport. That question mark is always there, isn't it, until you get over the line. As you've been saying, Rupert, there were a couple of delays in the match because of injuries to Simona Halep. This is what the defeated semi-finalist had to say.
It was difficult to continue because I switched my ankle and was very hard. I felt a big pain in the moment, but then was better with the tape. But still, I couldn't push anymore in my leg. My first serve was really bad after that, and it was difficult to continue with another injury.
Yes, it didn't materialise into the contest that we probably hoped it would do. A lot of people were predicting a sort of three-set epic between Bouchard and Halep and moulding it as the future of women's tennis and all the rest of it. Do you think the ankle injury, Lucy, in the end, played a huge role in that?
I think it certainly didn't help, because she came on court with her ankle taped and her thigh taped, and then she came off court with the other ankle taped. So she's obviously carrying some issues there. I mean, of course, she made the final of the French. It's quite a quick turnaround. And she is certainly a player that's played a lot of tennis. Mm. And it obviously didn't help. We've just heard the interview. She said that. But an element of that, I think, after that first set, because after the ankle injury and it got taped up, the level of the tennis in the first set, I mean, some of the rallies were quite incredible at how they were moving each other from side to side. And it was really Bouchard that was the one that was a little bit more courageous. It is her game style. She was going for more. And I think it's a tough surface for Halep. And she maybe didn't have enough time, the ball staying lower, to be able to chase down as many balls. And the weight of shot that Jeannie Bouchard was able to send was just too much. And after that first set, it was a little bit disappointing from Halep, and the ankle. I think also the fact that she perhaps had lost a little bit of belief. She looked a bit defeated to me.
Which leaves us, Rupert, with a final between Petra Kvitova and Eugenie Bouchard.
I'm very excited about it, because I think we've got the lefty against this, the coming force. It has all the ingredients. It's what you want. You've got a perfect matchup, the former champion against, you know, the player, the most talked about player of the year coming into this event. We couldn't ask for a better one. Okay, we may not have the Williams sisters here, but in terms of the profile of these two and what it could bring to the table, if they can deal with the occasion and both deal with the occasion, then we could be in for a real treat. And I see no reason why we won't, because I think Bouchard does seem to have an aura. Kvitova can come in and say, I'm going to keep you down, young lady. And that's why I think it could be fantastic.
This next section is going to make Rupert smile as well, you know. We're going to move away from the ladies' final for just a second, because one of the matches of the day outside the singles, and certainly one of the finishes of the day, is going already, Rupert, alongside me, was on number one court. Here we go.
And this serve is got back by Svilla. Backhand volley from Brody. Then the volley from Brody. Margera to the volley of Skupski. That falls on the baseline. Brody with the smash. Margera equal to it. Backhand again for volley. Brilliant point. Smash from Brody. Svitolina gets to it. I don't believe it. Is it going to fall in? Yes, it is. This is sensational. Smash again. Svitolina to the volley of Brody. They're hanging on in there, but they're not this time. The Brits have finally done it. On the 11th match point of a most brilliant mixed doubles third round match, Svitolina and Margera have contributed hugely. They took the first set 6-4, but Naomi Brody and Neil Skupski have come back to take the second set 6-3 and the final set 6-4. An extraordinary match, brilliantly played in front of a thoroughly absorbed and enjoying crowd that just went ballistic towards the end. What a match!
Well, that's what tennis can do to you.
You found that a bit boring, did you?
No, I didn't really like it at all. I overhyped it.
The details, that was the British pairing, Neil Skupski and Naomi Prodi, defeating Florin Mergier and Elena Svitolina to set up a quarterfinal against Asim Kerasian and Vera Dushavina. So there's more of that to come, Rupert.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is the beauty of Wimbledon, because they do give credence to every championship, whatever level, they see it as equally as important. And the mixed doubles does get a prominence. It was on number one court today, which obviously the spotlight was on the centre court and the semi-finals. But if the crowd, anyone who had a number one court ticket today was treated prior to that to a great doubles match, which Pairs and Stepanek won. And then this one, 2 hours, 11 match points. First, McGair was serving, and Brody and Skupski had 9 match points on his serve. They couldn't take it. There was a moment, there was an overrule, there was all sorts going on as McGair managed eventually to hold his serve. It was about a 10-minute game in its own right. That was enough drama to be going on with. Then Skupski, who's a bag of nerves in his own right, because remember, Neil Skupski, 2 years ago, just left university. His brother, obviously, is an experienced doubles player, and he's been working up. But he would have never played in front of 9,500 people before like it was today, with the crowd going absolutely bonkers.
And one or two commentators,
but you're entitled to. And Naomi Brody, who obviously went out in the second round, a big moment for her, and she played brilliantly. Although one or two of the smashes at the end, where the ball was going, where places were going... Going out was the difficult option, you know. So that added to the drama. But what a privilege to watch it, and what a moment for mixed doubles, because I think, you know, the Wimbledon crowd appreciate good tennis at whatever competition it is.
We enjoyed the mixed doubles today. Jamie Murray, from a British point of view, is still going too with Casey Dellacqua. And we saw late on Daniel Nestor, the defending champion, with Kristina Mladenovic, still going strong as well. To the men's semi-finals, because the order of play on centre court tomorrow starts with Novak Djokovic and Grigor Dimitrov, followed by Roger Federer and Milos Raonic. We haven't got long, Lucille, but Djokovic and Dimitrov...
Oh, man.
It is an old man. We do not know.
All the predictions, you go towards all the statistics and the experience. And to be honest, I think you just chuck all that out the window. And I'm going to go Dimitrov.
And then, in a word?
Federer.
Dimitrov, Federer from Lucy. Rupert?
Dimitrov. And I'm going to rock the boat. I think it's going to be a special weekend for Canada.
Raonic. Before we go, we always do a three-word Wimbledon. So today in three words, Lucille?
New slam winner.
Canadians are coming.
They are coming. Lucy, Rupert, thank you very much indeed. They're with us all the way through to Sunday on Live at Wimbledon Radio, along with the likes of Wayne Ferreira, Barry Cowan, Jan Michael Gamble, part of our expert team. Do make sure you join Mary Rhodes and the whole team from 9 o'clock in the morning British summertime for full interrupted coverage and live commentary from the championships. You can listen to us on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM, and the official Wimbledon or TuneIn apps. And if you're in the US, you can catch us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, presented by ESPN. It's always great to hear from you. You can tweet us your views to live at Wimbledon using the hashtag Wimbledon. So after another great day of tennis here at the All England Club, and Bouchard and Kvitova into the final, from me, Richard Connolly, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM, and the official Wimbledon apps.